Okay, Marav Rabotai. We are learning the halachos of Basar B'Cholav, and last time we learned, we began to focus on the Isser Hano'ah of Basar B'Cholav, and whether Isser Hano'ah of Basar B'Cholav gets Malkus, and we pointed out that the Rambam holds that Isser Hano'ah never gets Malkus in the history of Judaism. This is like a tremendous chiddush of the Rambam, and we gave some suggestions for in the Rambam, why the Isser Hano'ah doesn't get Malkus. We had a Lechem Mishnah, the Isser Hano'ah doesn't get Malkus because it's like always a Chati Shir in some way, because it's not really the intended use of the product. That was a Chiddush within the Rambam. And then when we kind of got into it, so we ended up in a place that what happens if someone's Mevashel Chilev B'Cholov, right? Let's say I cook treif meat. Treifa, chelev, nevela, something like that, right? Treifa and nevela, by the way, are different. No, nevela means that the animal died on its own. Treifa means that the animal had some deformity which made it that the animal will die within 12 months. So if a mevasher treifa b'cholav or the like, so the Gemara says that you violate the Isser Bishul, and the Isser Hano'ah is not described and is not mentioned at all. And the Rambam tells us in the Nekuda Nefla'ah, in Parakim of Krisos, that the Isser Hano'ah is not going to be Chal. Because the Isser Hano'ah is an outgrowth of the Isser Achila. That's the Yisod of the Rambam that the Nekuda Nefla'ah puts together. Isser Hano'ah comes from the Isser Achila. Now, of course, this does present a shtickle problem. What do you mean the Isser Hano'ah comes from the Isser Achila? The Rambam himself tells us in the Sefer HaMitzvos that fundamentally there are three separate psukim, Lo Tvashel, Lo Tvashel, Lo Tvashel, right? And that should mean that there's a separate Isser Hano'ah, but apparently Me'ez HaSiba Shehi, the Rambam, and I give you a Marmakon to look at, it's not so simple to answer this kasha, but Me'ez HaSiba Shehi, the Rambam assumes that the Isser Hano'ah is a siyug that I shouldn't come lidei achila, of sorts. Right? Which should be very interesting, because if I put a Rambam together with a Rambam, that means that the fundamental din of Basar B'Cholav is the Isser Achila, no? Bishul, don't come lidei achila. Hana'ah, don't come lidei achila. And as such, even though Bishul I'm going to get Malkus on, because the Torah writes it explicitly, and Achila will get Malkus on because that's really what the Kavanas HaTorah is. But Hana'ah, for some reason, the Rambam says there's no Malkus. And Chelev B'Cholav, there is going to be no Isser Hana'ah. That's the Yesod of the Rambam. Now, worth noting that there are Rishonim who disagree with the Rambam. The Prima Godim already points out in his Psifa to Basar B'Cholav that the Rashba disagrees with the Rambam, no? The Rashba in the Torah Sabayis Aruch, I think we found it on page Pehe, right? The Rashba writes that Chileb B'Cholav is going to be Asr B'Hana'ah because it's considered an Isser Mosif. That's what the Rambam says. It's an Isser Mosif. And therefore, that's what the Rashba writes, and therefore you'd get Malkus. And we noted also that the Ramban, the Rashba over there is quoting the Ramban, but we found this Ramban, it's in the Chidushim on Kuf Yud Gimel Mibes. The Ramban writes, Achelav B'cholav, right, is going to be an Isser Mosif, and therefore there's going to be Malkus on the Hana'ah, right? In other words, not only does Isser Hana'ah get Malkus, but Achelav B'cholav is Asr B'Hana'ah, you get Malkus on the Hana'ah. That's Beferish in the Ramban on 113b. Just to see another Marimakom about Chilav B'Cholav, which is interesting, look at Rebbe Akiva Eger here, the second Rebbe Akiva Eger, the way I have it in my Shulchan Aruch. Now some of the guys pointed out, and some of these razzle-dazzle red Shulchan Aruchs, they have like some Rebbe Akiva Egers that I don't have, no? When of you like pointed this out to me during Seder? I forgot who. But, okay, whatever. In my Shulchan Aruch, Rebbe Akiva Eger, you see, we paskin that Basar B'Cholav Midrabbanan does not create an Isser Hana'ah, right? That's Beferish in the Ramah in Se'if Aleph. And the Mechaber also agrees with this Yesod, as the Shach notes in Sifkat and Beis, that Basar B'Cholav that's Midrabbanan is not Asr B'Hana'ah. Correct? What's the source of this? So the most basic source here is the Sefer Mordechai, Rabbi Akiva Eger here gives us the whole lashon of the Mordechai. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah asks, how come Gevinas Akum is Aser? No? Gevinas, and there's like five explanations in the Gemara, and it's not at all clear how we paskin, no? About Gevinas Akum. We assume that Gevinas Akum is Aser. One of the shiurim I gave last year that someone said, maybe I shouldn't have said in public, but I'll say it in public again now, is that there is someone who is part of the Beltway Vad. The Beltway Vad is the open Orthodox Vad HaKashrus in D.C. So this fellow, Rabbi Chaim Ovadia, issued a psak online that you're allowed to eat dairy in any restaurant, and vegan restaurants also don't require any hashgacha. And his cheshbonos are that he's make on the bug checking. He assumes that vinegar of goyim is not going to be a problem because they're not really menaseh yayim avodah zarah, so their vinegar is not a problem. And he assumes that there's no iser gvinas akum anymore. No, non kosher cheese is fine. Non-kosher cheese is a big deal. If you go here to Key Food, you know, Key Food on 187th, and so there is a brand of cheese that they sell that has a stamp on it that says kosher with a crown. No? That is not a legitimate hashgacha. That kosher with a crown is totally fake. And the kosher with a crown is some guy decided to put on his product. Like, it's not trademarked. Usually hashgachos are all trademarked. This is not trademarked. It's garnished and garnished. And that guy who does it is relying on the shittos that there's no longer an iser of gvina sakum. Right? In other words, if you hold that gvina, that swama da sovim, is kosher, if you hold that stuff that's made with rennet is a problem, the stuff that's made with plant rennet is going to be kosher. So therefore, most of our cheeses are fine. That's not mainstream halacha. Mainstream halacha is that even huama basavim is a problem. So this guy's relying on those positions. That's not, like, legit, generally speaking. Okay. So the Mordechai, you had a comment?
No, just about the rennet.
Right. So the Mordechai over here in Avodah Zarah, it's called Reb Akiva Eger, he discusses the opinion in the Gemara that the reason why you need kosher cheese is because mamidim osam ba'ar kevas nevela. Right? The way we make cheese, and we'll spend a lot of time about making cheese probably maybe the end of this week, maybe after Yontiv, but the way you make cheese is that you put milk in the stomach cavity of a cow. The stomach cavity of a cow has a lot of this enzyme called rennet, which is a very powerful enzyme, and it makes the milk coagulate and become cheese. That's the basic avoda of asiyas gvina, in like one sentence. It's much more complicated. This is the one sentence version. The gvinas akum were made by ba'ar kevas nevela, that they would take the stomach cavity of a treif cow, and they put the milk into it, and the Gemara says that's why it's aser. So the Mordechai asks Akasha, how come it's not aser v'hana'a also? Ella, al karchacha kevan de hevi rak derech kevisha derabonon eino aser v'hana'a. The Mordechai writes that it's not aser v'hana'a because it's kavush, it's only derabonon, and therefore, since it's only derabonon, it's not aser v'hana'a. That's the Mordechai, that's the makar for the deya, that basar b'chav mit derabonon, like kavush, is not going to be aser b'hana'a. But slowly comes along all the achrayim, and they jump up and down, they spit wood and nickels, and they say, go slowly. We're talking about kevas nevela. And the Mordechai frek the kash, it should be aser b'hana'a. If not for the fact that it's the rabbanon out kavo, it should be aser b'hana'a. But hello, it is nevela. So you see from the Mordechai, as erhalt nisht from the kudah nefloah. Right? The Mordechai does not hold of a nekuda nefla'a. Good raya. Stark, no? Starker raya. So there are many Rishonim who do not hold of the Nikud and the fly at all. Nonetheless, we noted that the Pesachei Shuva quotes that the Chassam Sofer didn't like the Dago Merivava, this reliance on the Kudi and the Fla'a. He said, if they ask me, I would answer it, but Hamora Uba Kedivre Dago Merivava Ein Mesbich and also. No? I apparently get an impression, by the way, that you're supposed to scream at rabbis when they give a wrong psak. But in this case, it's not so bad, right? What's this one? I'm not sure. Mr. Press? Anyone? Anyone like no language? I know it ain't good, right? It's like someone asked Rav Huttner once what the word usimager means in Shulchan Aruch, in Shmona Esrei. So Rav Huttner says, I have no idea what usimager means. I just know it's not good from context, right? So I don't know what mezchichen means, but in mezchichen also means that like you don't scream at someone who paskins like the Dago Merivava. Oh. Now, there is another mahalach that's found in Achronim primarily as to why Chelev B'cholov is not going to be usher B'hano'a L'maisa. No? Remember, we have the Nekud and the Flow of the Rambam, and the Isser HaNo is an extension of the Isser Achila. But we have certain Mefarshim on the Rambam, notably Alecha Mishnah and Parakas HaLachavav, and notably a Mishnah Lamelech and Parakei of Yisaydei HaTorah. And they say something about how Chelev B'cholov is not considered an Isser Mosif, because you don't get Malkus on the Hanah. Right? I think we mentioned this last time, but this is a totally different Mahalach. Right? We have the Nekud and the Flah. The Chelev B'cholov is an extension, the Hanah is an extension of the Isser Achila. And it doesn't really work in the Makar Hadavar, and that's a problem. But comes along the Lechem Mishnah, the Mishnah Lamelech, and they say, you know what? You can't have an Isser Hana'ah of Basar B'chol of Chal on top of the Isser Achila. Because the Isser, or you can't have Isser Hana'ah Chal by Chelev B'chol of, because for the Isser Achila you get Malkus. The Isser Hana'ah, there's no Malkus, the Rambam tells me. Consequently, the Isser Hana'ah is an Isser that's more Kal than the Isser Achila. So it can't be called an Isser Mosif, right? Isser Mosif means that Isser 2 is stronger than Isser 1, right? Or Isser 2 makes the Chatzah more Usser, right? That's what we spoke about. But over here, the Isser 2 is less severe on some level. On the one hand, it's more severe. It's Hanah as opposed to Achila. So there is more activities that are Usser. But on the other hand, since I don't focus on Islam, Ches Tes Zayin of Is of Macholos Asuros, so Memela, there can't be an Isser Mosif. That's the approach of the that's the approach of the Lechem Mishnah and the Mishnah Lamelach. So we have two separate approaches. Now, approach one, that Hana'ah is an extension of the Isser Achila, and therefore we're not going to say Ein Isser, and therefore we won't say it's an Isser Mosif, and therefore we will not say Isser Chala Isser, we'll say Ein Isser Chala Isser, right? That's the Nekud and the Fla'ah. Everyone asks on the Nekud and the Fla'ah from the Gemara in Yevam Islamid Gimel, where the Gemara says that we paskin that Hanah, we paskin, excuse me, that in the situation of Ein Isser Chala Isser, the Isser Sheni is Chal al Kolponim Lakovro Bin Risham Gemurim. No? We mentioned last time that every shul has its own base kavaros, because everyone presumably does the same number of Yisurim in that shul, right? Everyone, either you go to a shul they talk in davening, go to a shul they don't talk in davening. So everyone does the same number of Yisurim. So if everyone does the same number of Yisurim, what do you mean with this discussion? Isser Chala, Isser Ein Isser Chala, Isser Sikwar says, it's Chal, Lekover Ben Misham Gemurim. That even if you hold Ein Isser Chala, Isser, it's still Ischal. So if that's the case, the Isser should still be Chal, the Isser Hana'ah should be Chal, and Gabi the Isser Achil, and that's the Kasha on the Rambam. Right, the Prima Godim in the Psicha asks Kasha on the Rambam. So the answer probably is, and the Stipler alludes to this in his essay, Increase of Siman Vav. How many of you guys had a chance to read that Stipler? It's beautiful, no? The Stipler is like very sharp. Or Shef Dori says, he really hits it on. So basically the Stipler develops, he quotes in the Beis Halevi, that there's a machlokas, whether you hold la halacha, whether Isser is certainly Chala Isser or Koyver Bemisham Gemurim. It's a machlokas in the Gemara, right? Bar Kaparin, Rav Chisda, on the one hand, and the end of the Gemara we say that it's Chal Kovro Bein Risham Gemurim. So it's entirely possible that the Rambam holds that it's not Chal Kovro Bein Risham Gemurim. Right? That's like the easy part of the answer. But then the Stipler really develops this idea further. He says, when you think about it, those two opinions are disagreeing about the yesod of Ein Isser Chala Isser in the Gemara. When the Gemara speaks about whether Isser is Chala Isser or Ein Isser Chala Isser, is the Gemara talking with Inyan Malkus and Einshem, or is the Gemara talking about Inyan Isser entirely? If you hold that Acharei kechol sakol, no matter what, Isser is Chala Isser lekover ben Yisham Gemurim, that means that the entire discussion is l'inyan Malkus. And therefore, since there is no Malkus by Isser Hanoa anyway, so therefore, Ein Isser Chala Isser by Isser Hanoa gabe Isser Achila. By Hektish, it's going to be Isser Chala Isser because the Rambam tells us that in Hilchos Me'ilah that there is Malkus by getting Hanafim Hektish, no? And Hanafim Hektish also is not fundamentally an Isser Achila, because Hanafim Hektish is fundamentally an Isser Gezela. That's why the Shear is a Shavapruta, as opposed to a Kazayas. But the point is, if you paskin, like the Pin of Lakovro being Rishon Gemur and that it is Chal, so in the whole discussion of Isser Chala, Isser, Ein Isser Chala, Isser in the Gemara is only Inyan Malkus. However, if you hold like the other opinion in the Gemara, so the whole discussion is inyan the Isser is Chal, and if that's the Pshat, then you have to say that the Isser Hanoa is an outgrowth of the Isser Achila. So Stipler basically says that this machlokas between Lechem Mishnah, Mishnah L'malach on one hand, versus the Pashtus and the Kud and the Flaw on the other hand, right, as to why the Isser Hanoa is not Chal the Isser Achila, is really machlokas Amorim in the Gemara. Right, that's what emerges from the Stipler, which I think is very sharp. Good. Let's just make one other ha'ara, which I believe we mentioned last time, although we didn't completely finish it. And that ha'ara is Reb Kiva Eger's kasha. Reb Kiva Eger in the Drush V'Chiddush Ois Zayin, in Beitz, I believe. So Reb Kiva Eger says as follows. He says, Chaylov B'cholov, how come we're saying that there's a discussion that maybe the Isser Hanoa is not Chal, because it's Asur Achila already? That's only from the perspective of the Chalav. The Chalav was Kasher beforehand. So the answer that is given, and the Badei HaShulchan on page Zayin really develops this, he calls him a Chazon Ish, who develops this idea, is that Basar B'Chalav has to be the Lashon that he uses as an Isser HaMorkav. Isser HaMorkav means you only have basar b'cholav if the cholav gives flavor to the basar and the basar gives flavor to the cholav. If I have one without the other, that's not basar b'cholav. Right? That's really the idea that he developed. And this is something that we are going to have to kind of hold on to and use the yisod a few times throughout this year as we continue to learn. Right? There is a machlokes haposkim. Rebbe Kiva Eger is assuming in that tshuva, or in that Drush V'Chiddush, that you could have Basar B'Chalav when it's only unidirectional. Right? But the Chassam Sofer, who argues and says, no, if the Basar doesn't become Asar, the Chalav can't become Asar. So the Chassam Sofer's disagreement is that he holds that Basar B'Chalav has to be an Isser HaMorkav, that they both Asar the other one. Right? And this is something that we'll hold on to and we'll discuss later on. Okay, so the Nafkaminas LaHalacha, but with respect to whether we hold like the Nekud and the Flaa, so we mentioned already the Badei HaShulchan of Katan Kafei discusses dog food. Can I feed my dog can I feed my dog alcohol dog food? Right, so that's one discussion. There is a further discussion whether I could feed your dog in Isser Hanoha. No? L'chaira, if it's my dog, I'm getting Hanoha, I'm saving a meal. But if I'm giving it to your dog, what am I getting? Now, the premise in Hukos Pesach, we Aser, giving Chometz Pesach to your dog also. So that could be Stamazai Chumra de Chometz. If you look, I just pulled off of the shelf this morning the Yalkut Yosef on Basar Bechama. The Yalkut Yosef develops the idea that only in Pesach do we assume, only in Chometz do we assume that giving it to your dog is a problem, right? But to give it to my dog, that for sure is going to be a problem. However, if I hold like the Nekuda and the Fla'a, that really does not become usher, then you're allowed to use dog food. Right? By the way, there is a market, if anyone wants, to give a hashgacha on dog food. Because you could say, I'm giving hashgacha that it's not basar b'chala from basar neveila. Right? And it's not going to be usher hana for sure. Okay. That would be one approach. One nafkamina. Another nafkamina, I wrote an article together with Rabbi Josh Flum. He was my chavrusa for a couple of years when I was in the Kol HaElyon. So Rav Schechter walked over to us one day and he says, I just heard that they fatten the veal calves from Basar B'cholov. Why don't you guys look into it and write an article? He like walked over to us in the middle of absolutely nothing. We were learning ksubis that semester. So we closed our ksubis for like a week. And we decide, okay, we're going to look into the Shaila. So, kachava, it's actually true. Veal calves are treated in a very barbaric way. Many people who are into animal rights don't eat veal calves. They basically keep the calves. Veal means that they're slaughtered before the end of the first year of their life. So they're very young. And they keep the calves in very small pens. And they only give the calves, like, bottles of, it looks like milk, it looks like formula, but it's really basar b'chalav formula. Because this formula is 15 to 20% tallow. Tallow is fat from animals. And it's, like, 40% whey. And then they have, like, water and other nutrients. They add palm oil and coconut oil and stuff. So it's supposed to make the veal calves very fat without muscle. That's the yesod. Because people who want veal want very soft meat. And the way you have soft meat is you make sure the animal doesn't develop any muscle. So you keep it in one place. Now, Reb Moshe Feinstein in the Tshuva years ago assured veal because he was worried that there's a higher percentage of treifus in the Bnei Me'ayim of the veal. Since they are so weak, there could be treifus in the legs and treifus in the stomachs, and therefore Moshe said that you should not eat veal because of the high percentage of treifus. Now, we check for treifus, la halacha. After you shecht an animal, we check the lungs. We make sure there are no adhesions, no circus on the lung. We do not check for treifus of the other treifus. Now, they're yudches treifus. We don't check all of them. We don't check to make sure that the brain membrane is not severed. We don't check for nigram from shamayach. And we don't check the legs. And we don't check the stomach. But Moshe felt that veal is so weak and there's a greater chance of treifus by veal than other animals that you really should not eat unless you check all these other treifus, and we don't have much of a mesora in checking for the other treifus. We don't do it. Now, the OU and all the hashgachas continued to give hashgacha on the veal after Moshe's tshuvas. When I spoke to the Nir Bater Rav, Nir Bater is like one of the Satmar groups, he gives hashgacha on a lot of the veal, a lot of the meat in this area. So Nir Bater Rav says the reason why they give hashgacha on veal, even though Igros Moshe says that there's a higher percentage of treifus, is because subsequently they did their own investigations and they found that there's no higher percentage of treifus. So Moshe just had the wrong mitzvahs. That's their argument. And Dayan Chaim Cohen, who is one of the Breyer's Dayanim, who does the meet for KAJ, he also told me something like that when we spoke to him on the phone. Okay. So, people continue to eat veal because there's no higher percentage of treifas. But then Rosh Hashanah comes on and says, okay, there might not be treifas, but the veal is fattened with Isurei Hana'ah, because Basar V'Chav is Asur V'Hana'ah. So, maybe the veal is treif for that reason. So we wrote this article, and we have a number of possible kulans to eat the veal, but they are not all, we're not comfortable with all the kulans. One kula that we came up with was the fact that the veal, this veal feed that they make, so one kula that we came up with is that they're using non-kosher fat, and therefore, it's like basar neveila, and therefore the nekuda neflaa would be a reason to be mekel. And that's why we're bringing it in the shir. If you hold the nekuda neflaa, it's okay. Now, obviously, to eat meat based on the nekuda neflaa is not so pashat, because the Chasam Sofer says, don't really rely on that nekuda neflaa. So there's a few other kulas. The din of behemosh and ispatma. The din yerideyasim in samach, if an animal is fattened its entire life. So there's a din elsewhere in yerideya that it's zevezeh gorim, it's mutter. Zevezeh gorim means that if you have two components, the din of behemosh and ispatma is if the animal only eats treifas according to the Rama, anything that's non-kosher. If you have an animal that only eats bugs, for the Rama, you're not allowed to eat that animal. The shach over there in Yerideyas Simen Samach Sifkat and Hay says it's only by Yisuri Hanoah. But since Basukhov is also by Hanoah, so even according to the shach should be a problem. But that then is only if the animal only eats the non-kosher things, or only eats the Asur Bahanoah things. In the case of the veal, so they found out that the animal has the formula, but the animal also drinks water bottles. And they also don't give the animal anything for the last 36 hours before they slaughter the animal. So maybe that's enough to be considered zevezeh gorim. And maybe it's going to be mutter for that reason. Now, I did not like this. Me and Rabbi Flug did not like this approach. Because l'chaira zevezeh gorim means when you have two components that accomplish the same goal. The formula fattens the animal up. The water that they give it hydrates the animal. It's two separate goals, no? Moreover, even if it would accomplish the same goal, I could say that some of the fatness of the animal is coming from the Isser Hanoah. It's not at all pashut to be make on this. So, we wrote this article, and we thought that we should be a machmir on the veal, but we presented all the possible kulas. So the OU sent some people out to the Midwest where they purchased the veal calves at auction to slaughter them. No? Basically, you purchase veal calves right after they're born and you buy thousands of them at auction. And then that you raise them this way and then you slaughter them. So they went out to the Midwest, and they found that the way they prepare the veal formula is in a cliché. They have this powdered basar b'chalav stuff, and they prepare it in a cliché. That's what OU found. Now, the OU found this out by going to two different farms. So Rabbi Flug and I were not so convinced that this was the right way to investigate, because you could buy the stuff from hundreds of farms out there. They investigated two, and they saw it's made in a cliché. If it's cliché, we'll learn in Kofei, it's not basar b'chalav. However, first of all, it's against the directions on the packages of veal feed. The packages of veal feed come in these 50-pound bags, and the package says that what you're supposed to do is bring water to a rolling boil and then add the veal feed. Now, a rolling boil does not happen in a cliché. So Rabbi Flug and I were not convinced that this is a legitimate kula, but it's something else to be mitzdarif, together with the nekuda and the floa, together with possible zevus agoyim, maybe it's going to help. Then, years later, the Yalkut Yosef was published. Chacham Uvadia has a kula, or I think his son, who wrote the Yalkut Yosef, who's now the chief rabbi, quotes from the father that maybe we could say Ein Bishal Achar Bishal over here. What's a pshat Ein Bishal Achar Bishal? The way you make the veal feed is you dry it, you take veal, you take basar, take chalav, and you dry each of them to make it a powder, and then they mix the powders together and you reconstitute it with the hot water. Since it is dried, so maybe we're going to say, since the basar was cooked already and the chol was cooked already, Ein Bishal Achar Bishal. Now this is also not so pashat, because we learned that I only say Ein Bishal Achar Bishal by basar b'cholav, even if you say it, once the basar b'cholav was already cooked, if I have basar cooked, cholav cooked separately, it's very schwer to say Ein Bishal Achar Bishal. So we concluded our article that there is a patent now for kosher veal feed, now being in 2002. When we wrote this article, there was a patent that came out for kosher veal feed. Kosher in the sense that it's not made with basar b'cholav. I don't know if they're using it or not. Ad hayom hazeh, I myself do not eat veal. With the exception of veal that comes from Canada. Because now, not everywhere in Canada, Quebec, not Ontario. So when I went to a wedding in Montreal, I asked the mashgiach where he got his veal from, and I ate veal at a wedding in Montreal. That was the last time I had veal. Like 6 years ago, 7 years ago. The basic idea is that in Quebec, the environmentalists are very stark, and environmentalists insist that the animals actually graze. Not only do they get the formula, they actually eat grass, which is what normal animals eat, no? Now, once you're actually eating grass, it's a real zevzei goyrim, because you have two components for the fatness. Now, as opposed to water, which isn't a full component to the fatness, just hydration, grass actually contributes to the fatness. So I thought that this is a better kula, and also in Quebec, because the animals graze, the animals aren't kept in this tiny little pen the whole time. I don't recommend that you go there, but if you go to the PETA website, I really don't recommend that you go there. If you go to the PETA website, you will see lots of awful pictures of veal calves. And part of the awfulness is that they're kept in this tiny little pen their whole life. If they graze, they're actually doing what normal animals do, so there's less of a chance of trephis, so moisture concern won't exist, and there's less of a chance of being mispatma by basar b'cholav, so l'cha'ora we solve both problems, and that would make our lives much better with veal from Quebec. I believe Israeli veal is also better. The Badatz Eidah Hari, this is Machmir on this question. The Nirbater Rav, when I spoke with him on the phone, he told us that he knew about this problem. The OU didn't really know about this problem. The Nirbater knew about the problem. The Nirbater said, you know, I have two different meats under my hashgacha. The meat that I sell in Williamsburg is not nispatim with basar b'cholav. The meat that I sell in Queens is. Now, why you make a distinction between Williamsburg and Queens, I'll leave up to your imagination. But kach shamati mimenu. Okay, so this is what we discussed in terms of the iser hana'ah on chilav b'cholav. Another related shayla is whether I'm allowed to own stock in McDonald's. Now, McDonald's, the meat is chilav, the cheese is chalav. So it should be the same question of chilav b'chalav. Again, right? If you hold like the nekuda nefla,
the meat is chilav?
The meat is basar nevel or shreifa, yeah. They're not using horse meat in their hamburgers.
Isn't that different from chilav?
What?
Isn't that different from chilav?
Chaylev and Neveil and Trefer is all the same thing. It's all going to be the same discussion in that Gemara in Kofi and Gimel. But the Yesod is at McDonald's, should be a Shaila. If I don't like the Nekuda and the Fly, I can for sure own stock at McDonald's, because it's not Usher V'Hana'ah. If I don't hold the Nekuda and the Fly, I shouldn't. So, there is another way, though, of looking at the Shaila by McDonald's that might make it better. You see, how do you make a cheeseburger? You make it Ayyadei Tzli, no? Tzli, what's it in a Tzli? Is Tzli Basar B'Chav D'Oraisa or D'Rabbanon? Machlokes Pri Chadash and Maharshal. Pri Chadash says Tzli is Basar B'Chav Min HaTorah. Maharshal is Mekel. If it's Mekel, if it's Basar B'Chav Min D'Rabbanon, I could be Mekel. Right? However, I thought, no, not so. Because the Maharshal is the one who says that Tzli is Basar B'Chav Min D'Rabbanon. But there's Taz and Sifkat and Aleph, quotes of the Maharshal, holds that even Basar B'Chav Min D'Rabbanon is also B'Hana'ah. So therefore, I'm stuck. But, I'm not stuck. Because owning stock is not halachic ownership, no? Look in the Tshuva Igros Moshe, Chelek Evan HaEzra Simen Zayin. Ownership means that I can do stuff. If I own stock, what can I do? All I could do if I own stock is I'm allowed to get profit. No? I do not make any decisions in the company. The only decision I can make is whether or not to elect the CEO. But even that I can't make because I don't own enough stock for it. So Reb Moshe is mekel on the stock. Okay, Chevra, Yashikaya, we'll pick up from here tomorrow. I just have to run for 1 minute and we'll pick up tomorrow.